Hello and welcome to the Heathside ICT Revision Podcast, giving you the stuff you need to know in a way that's easy to take in. Episode 4, Online Communities. I mentioned at the end of our last episode that we would be talking about the idea of how people collect other stuff about us and how we give information to companies who sell us things online. This is a small part of what we might call online communities. With the rise of the use of the World Wide Web, people can now gather together and share information between ourselves. Now, you may have noticed on many sites where you buy things that they often have reviews given to them by members of the public who've bought those things. Why would a company want other people to review their products online? They obviously can't control what people are saying, so why do they want people to say things about their products? Well, there are several reasons for this. One of the reasons is that if people know that the reviews are being given by other people just like themselves who are buying things, they're probably more likely to trust the reviews. It also means, of course, that the company gets a free source of reviewers, a free source of advertising, lots of people contributing to the knowledge out there about their products, and people may well come back to see what more and more people are saying. The downside for the company is, of course, that some people might say bad things about their products. But in a way, this also gives them a benefit because it makes them look honest and open about their products. There are many other types of online community that you need to be able to speak about when you come to the examination, and they may well ask you about several of them. Some of the ones you might need to be thinking about are social media, like Facebook and WhatsApp and all these other applications like that. You might need to be thinking about blogging, and also the possibility of microblogging. Let's have a quick think about what each of those is. So social media, this is, in a sense, when Mark Zuckerberg invented Facebook, he said what he wanted to do was to provide the same experience as when you go to a party and people share information and phone numbers and sort of make new contacts. Facebook and other social media sites are places where you meet people, share information and share your hobbies and likes and various other sort of parts of your life. The sorts of things you'll be able to do there are to give a status update to describe how you are and what's going on in your life, share photographs and videos, invite people to events, create groups with special interests where you can discuss things more privately. So lots of different kinds of application available in social media. Blogging is a rather more sort of specialist field. Blogging is where people write a web log, a log of their life. So it's a bit like an online diary, but one that you share with the world. And on a blog, you'll make regular posts on there, and you'll invite comments from people who read them. And if you look down the bottom of posts on a blog, you'll see that people reply to it and maybe a conversation will start about what's being said. And some people have made an entire career about writing blogs where the advertising that they carry on the blog provides them with an income that's suitable to make it their full-time job. And of course, the reason they get the advertising income is because what they're writing about is interesting and lots of people want to read it. But it's the basis of an online community, because as well as reading it, people are able to make their own contributions as well. Microblogging Is there an application where you're able to just put very rapid words about how you're feeling or what's going on? The classic microblogging app is Twitter. Twitter is not a social media application as such. It's a way of you sharing what you think to the world at any given moment. And unlike Facebook, where you invite people to be your friends, with Twitter you talk to the world and people decide whether they want to listen to what you say. That's why it's called microblogging. It's like blogging, where you're describing what's going on, but rather than the rather involved posts that people write on blogs, which are like large articles, Twitter and other microblogging sites are places where you just write a very short piece of text, and you might write several times a day about what you're doing or how you're feeling. And people who follow you, people who decide to listen to what you say on a regular basis, can then make their own comments by retweeting what you've said or replying to your tweets. Now, all these are examples of online communities. Now, in order to join an online community, in most cases you have to register to belong. Now, registration is merely you saying to the application that you're a person who's interested, and you give certain personal details like your name, possibly profile information about yourself, your age, your interests, where you live. You also may well, probably, you'll give out your email address in order to join the community. So when you register on a website that's selling goods, you'll probably tell them your email address and you'll tell them something about yourself, and that will enable you to be making comments on the website. It also probably means that you'll receive information from the website. So when you register with a company to write reviews on their website, this also gives the company the opportunity to contact you with marketing information. Another reason why they'll want to create this online community. Social media websites, as soon as you register, this means that they'll automatically contact you as soon as anyone else says anything of interest to you. So you'll receive news updates about what's going on. You might well receive recommendations. You'll certainly receive advertising. Now, what are the benefits and drawbacks that come with the existence of online communities? Well, let's look at the benefits first. Obviously, the internet makes it possible to have huge online communities where lots of people of diverse opinions and backgrounds are able to join together in the same place without ever having to meet up or even living in the same country. Now, that's a great positive in the sense that anyone can join in. It's open to all. Of course, when we discussed the digital divide, this is another area you might want to be able to talk about, the fact that people who don't have access to digital resources, like web-enabled phones or computers, are shut out from these online communities. But in general, most people in the world have access. So there is the possibility of lots of different people getting together to share their opinions. It's not closed down to experts or people who have been voted into office to do things. Anyone can take part in an online community. So that's a definite plus. Added to that is the fact that you can get a wide variety of different opinions and different comments that are being made. You can find out lots of different people's views. So, for example, when it comes to the reviews that are written on online web shops, the reviews can come from lots of different people with lots of different experiences. When it comes to things like blogging, it's not just certain people who are journalists or whatever can speak about their opinions about matters. Anyone can voice an opinion. And from the point of view of the person who is the blogger, it gives them an opportunity to develop a new career. And there is the possibility that someone who gets online as part of an online community can make that their full-time work without needing to have to qualify or work their way through. It might be someone who lives in a very isolated community, but they're still able to contact the world and use their expertise, where maybe if it wasn't for their contact via the internet, then they would just never be noticed. Another really positive thing about online communities is the way in which people who maybe were once close together and are now separated geographically, maybe relatives have moved abroad or whatever, that they can still join together and form close-knit communities. Things like Skype and the video tools that are available in lots of social media sites and email and messaging can bring together people who are in very, very distant parts of the world. So these are all very positive things about the use of online communities. Are there any negatives? Well, yes, there are. Now, we've discussed the fact that anyone can join. Now, one of the negative aspects of online communities is, of course, anyone can join. If you're blogging on a subject, you don't have to be an expert on it, which means you could be absolutely and completely wrong. And you've still got the same power and the same voice as anyone there. No qualifications are needed to join. So, for example, if we take an online community like Wikipedia, Wikipedia is a very valuable resource which is contributed to by many, many people. But people who join that community and make contributions online, there is no guarantee that what they're writing there is accurate. Of course, the Wikipedia Foundation use lots of people to check entries, but they can't check everything, and every now and then something slips through, and there have been some famous cases where people have written extremely inaccurate things and deliberately tried to cause trouble for other people by things that they've written in Wikipedia articles. So the fact that anyone's allowed on there, so on a blog, people could say all kinds of things, and there's no guarantee that you know that what they said is accurate or true. People could review in an online review thing on a website, and you wouldn't know whether their review was accurate, whether they even bought the product in the first place. A second downside to online communities, of course, is the possibility of using them for bullying or for being extremely nasty about someone. The fact that you can bring together groups of people means that you could use that to group together against another person. When someone says something on Twitter, because that's a completely open forum, lots of people can then take that on, retweet it, and say how horrible they think the person is, and eventually it can make the person's life an absolute misery. A third downside to online communities is what we might call the digital footprint. Remember that anything that's done online will always exist. Now, we may delete our posts or we may backtrack on things that we've said, but once they're out there, it's very, very difficult to stop them being copied, retweeted, posted on other websites or copied and pasted elsewhere and recorded in other places. And things that we've said without thinking may come back to haunt us later, for example, at job interviews. So an online community is a very good idea and has a very positive impact on the way that people work together, but there are dangers that go along with it. And we've got to be aware of the fact that while information can be shared absolutely freely, of course, there's always the danger and the knowledge that information that's shared may not always be correct, and it may be actually stuff that people might regret having said in the first place. So you need in the exam to be able to reflect on the use of online communities in terms of how positive they are and other possible negative effects. You'll also need to be able to speak about why you, when you join an online community, you have to register. You may want to think about revising what kind of information you'll have to give when you register. And you may want to ask the question, why are online communities made available in the first place? For example, by commercial sites and why they would want people to be writing reviews or blogging. So we've covered an awful lot of things about online communities and purchasing online recently. In the next episode, we'll think about some of the more technical aspects of ICT and some of the important words that you'll need to be aware of when you answer questions in the exam. See you next time!